The following is paid for by the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Information on the program is intended solely to further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience. News Radio 1020 KDKA does not guarantee the accuracy of any of the information aired on the following program.
Tech Vibe Radio, brought to you by the generous support of the Allegheny County Airport Authority at flypittsburgh.com, Apogee IT Services at apogeeitservices.com, Compunetics at compunetics.com, Plus Consulting at plusconsulting.com, PNC Bank at pnc.com, PTC Corporate Coverage Group at pghtech.org, and SDLC Partners at sdlcpartners.com. Here are your hosts, the Pittsburgh Technology Council's Audrey Russo and Jonathan Kirstein.
Hey, everybody. It's Tech Vibe Radio. It's Friday night, Audrey. We're back in the studio. We've been on the road doing our Tech Vibe neighborhood tours.
It's been so much fun.
And we have more of those to come this summer.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, I tell you what, Audrey, it's weird being in the studio. I'm all crammed in here. I like stretching it out, wearing our special headsets with the built-in microphones, so we're never off mic. We're always, like, directionally in the right direction. I don't think that even makes sense. But anyhow,
I don't know what you're talking about.
My mind's a little bleary from being
okay, I don't know what you're talking about.
But we're back in the studio bringing you more Tech Vibe Radio. But as I mentioned, we'll be back on the road soon. We're our next stop, East End. We're going to East Liberty with Huntington Bank, and we're going to be talking to some of the cooler companies that are popping up in the East End.
Ah, mm-hmm. It's just way too much fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. But today's show is going to be good, man. We got some great guests lined up today. Ransomware. It's happening everywhere.
I know. It's way too depressing. I don't want to talk about it.
It's a scary trend.
I don't want to talk about it.
It's got me freaked out, like, click on something you shouldn't have clicked on, an inadvertent email you thought was coming from a trusted source, and all of a sudden, a couple of days later, you get a little note in your computer saying, we have all your files, and if you want them back, pay us this much in Bitcoin, and here's a link to it, and then maybe we'll give you your files back. It's taking your computer hostage.
I don't want to be held hostage.
But we have All Coverage stopping by today to talk about how they deal with ransomware. They actually have a whole little ebook they put out on this.
I know. We need to go download that.
And I think everyone should go in and check it out because there's some very simple things that kind of keep you safe out there. But like the internet is a scary world sometimes. And you got to have your guard up at all times. And All Coverage is going to talk about that today. I'm pretty excited about it. We also have Nokomis. This is, if you want to nerd out on cool technology, this is what I'm talking about, Audrey. I mean, looking at the frequencies of electronic devices, you can tell whether your iPhone is real or fake, or the chips inside of it haven't been somehow remanufactured or came from, you know, some other phone someplace else. I mean, these guys, this is an amazing company out of Charleroi. They do lots of work with the government. And think about this, Audrey. Everything, obviously, is powered with computer chips these days, whether it's a nuclear facility, whether it's a jet fighter, your car, your phone, whatever it is. You got to ensure those chips inside there are the real deal.
I know. It's just one of those things that when you start to think about it, becomes pretty overwhelming.
Exactly.
But the level of education on it just really needs to happen. I know that sounds simple.
No.
And I'm being simplistic, but it just is. It's scary. It's tied to your business. It's tied to the effectiveness of the tools that you use. And there's lots of solutions.
Right. And to have a company out there that's diligently working with the government to make sure that, you know, everything is legit, I think it's just really cool. And out of Charleroi, I just think it's kind of, you would think that, like, a little sleepy town like Charleroi having a cool company like this, I think is a neat story there within itself as well, too. So Andrew Portune is stopping by to talk about this, which I am kind of fired up about. And Audrey, one of your dear old friends is stopping by, Dave Martin.
Oh, yeah.
From Michael Baker.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Very interested to talk about Michael Baker because, you know, they have their hands in everything.
I'm amazed at how huge they are. I mean, whether they're building bridges and roads or they're designing buildings.
Well, they do a lot of inspections. They do a lot of, you know, 3D. And, you know, they are using technology a lot.
They are basically a big data company at this point. When we talk to Dave Martin, he's going to blow our minds. I know he's going to talk about, like, when they go out and they scan a building, they use some LiDAR to scan a building. The amount of data they get back. I mean, you're talking terabytes of data that they're getting. If they're scanning a road, terabytes of data.
Yeah, I'm psyched to have them in.
Yeah, I mean, this is just so cool. And it's a company that was founded in Pittsburgh, I think like in 1940.
Right.
Yeah. And I was out there back in the spring just learning about the company.
What was happening in 1940 in Pittsburgh?
I mean,
huh?
That was the height of steel, the beginning of
Another
World War II. I mean, mm-hmm. like... just craziness as far as it is that
a lot of steel was being
made then
poured here,
and now these guys are like a data company almost. That
it's
happens
awesome.
that happens to build some roads and some bridges and dams and fun things like that. So one of Pittsburgh's bigger assets, and it's one of those people you see the name Michael Baker, but you don't quite know what that means. So we're gonna start peeling that onion back as far as it is now. Audrey, you notice here I have my Evive bottle with me today from Evive
Station.
Yeah,
because everyone can see it.
That's why I'm pointing it out. I'm describing it. This beautiful blue double-walled bottle that's got an RFID tag.
Okay, we can tell Johnson
yes.
is not a product designer.
I'm not a product designer. With an RFID tag, so when I go to our new Evive Station that was just launched at 2000 Tech Drive at our offices, it knows who I am, how much water I've had.
And how many bottles you've saved.
How many bottles I've saved.
And it cleans your bottle.
And it cleans my
sanitation.
Bottle if I want to. It cleans the bottle and then fills it with either purified water or, I wish beer, but no beer comes out of the Evive Station.
No, we're not doing beer.
But flavored water they do have. And you know, whether it's cucumber watermelon, berry flavored. Anyhow, it's a cool service and we just launched it. And PTC members can get discounts on their bottles. You know, all kinds of fun things like that. It's a great way to stay hydrated. You're seeing more of these around town. They're in the Rivers Club. They're at Carnegie Mellon University.
Jonathan. Instead of doing Pokemon, he does Evive.
Exactly. Screw the pocket Pokemon stuff that's going on. I don't understand this Pokemon craze. I can't get into it, and I refuse to. But I'm into the Evive Station. I'm drinking so much water now, it's unbelievable. I used to be anti-water.
I think it's more water than you've drank
in
your whole life.
I'm drinking like 3 of these bottles a day. Which probably still isn't enough.
It's not enough.
Maybe you drink like 12 gallons a day in order to be like properly hydrated. I'll never drink 12 gallons, but I will drink 3 of these fairly large bottles, and I'm feeling like a better person. It's a cool service. It's a local company.
I think you're nicer.
I think I am. I'm a lot more.
I don't think you're as
I'm not grouchy or wound up.
I think so.
I think I hit the what's that? The Prozac button on the ball. It gives me a little shot of the happy juice.
Oh,
of the
water. Water.
It doesn't have that. No, it's just the water. It's good stuff. But anyhow. We're the latest building to acquire an Evive station, and if you're a PTC member, give us a ring. We have a page to send you to that we can tell you about if you want to, you know, join the Evive craze here, for lack of a better term, and just call it out there. I think it's kind of cool.
Okay.
Because it's summertime, you get hot and sweaty out there, man. You gotta stay hydrated. We can do that with Evive station. So that's my ringing endorsement for the day. I'm like the worst pitch man ever.
Totally. We love Evive, but folks, Jonathan's getting a little bit of hydration.
Well, you had an idea to promote them, but I won't talk about
that. No, you cannot talk about that.
But anyhow,
you cannot talk about that.
I digress. So, Audrey, you know what we're getting close to?
What?
Tech 50 season. In a few short weeks, we're going to be announcing the finalists for this year's Tech 50.
No way.
Uh-huh. In early August, it's coming. Yes, it's going to happen. I guarantee it. I'm putting the show together right now. We're going to be in the studio in a few weeks announcing the finals of this year's Tech 50. And if you didn't know, 20 years of us honoring the 50 coolest, raddest, baddest tech companies. When I say bad, I mean good. Tech companies in southwestern Pennsylvania. And we're going to have some fun this year with it. 2-0, man. I like it. I don't know what happened, but 20 years of it, it's kind of freaking me out. So I'm just letting everyone know it's going to happen, and we're going to be dedicating a lot of coverage towards the finalists and the winners this year, because it's a big deal.
It's a big party. It's a lot to celebrate.
That's right.
And it's a lot to be a party.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And at the end of August, STEM Summit.
STEM Summit.
Yep. Enough said. STEM Summit. I don't know what the stems are. Are they stems of muffins or stems of
no.
strawberries? But no. The science, the technology, engineering, and math.
Helping teachers and students get connected to what's happening in the business
exactly.
world.
Exactly. We're doing tours this year. We're taking the teachers to the workplaces, like FedEx Ground, heavy tech user right there. To really see
Calgon
what it means.
Calgon Carbon,
right. I think. Yeah, so that's that. I think August 30th, I believe. Check our calendar at pghtech.org for the exact day.
You should check our calendar for everything.
Yeah, I will next time, you know, just to be sure. I like to give people an about when we're going to have
something. I know, but our listeners can go to pghtech.org.
We know they're all tech savvy out there, and they can jump online and check out what's going on, because it's the end of summer, and we're getting a little loopy here at Tech Vibe, because we don't slow down, Audrey. Too much going on. And today's show, I cannot wait. We're going to start off with our friends from All Covered, Ransomware. Makes me scared, man. I don't want someone taking my computer over. It's just freaky that someone could just take all my files.
If my computer would work, that would be
one thing.
Well,
yours doesn't work. I know.
So what's the difference?
Exactly. You've been taken hostage in a different way.
I have. Right.
Ooh, scary. Anyhow, we're coming right back after this quick break. This is Jonathan Kirshning.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. We like helping tech companies succeed. We've been doing it since 1983. Learn more about us at pghtech.org and come on back for All Covered.
Now back to more Tech Vibe Radio, brought to you by the generous support of the Allegheny County Airport Authority at flypittsburgh.com, Apogee IT Services at apogeeitservices.com, Compunetics at compunetics.com, Plus Consulting at plusconsulting.com, PNC Bank at pnc.com, PTC Corporate Coverage Group at pghtech.org, and SDLC Partners at sdlcpartners.com. Here are your hosts, the Pittsburgh Technology Council's Audrey Russo and Jonathan Kirshning.
Hey, everybody. You are listening to Tech Vibe Radio. We're so glad you're spending your Friday evening with us, learning about the best, the coolest companies making Pittsburgh tick when it comes to technology. Say that 10 times fast. We have Clay Zurovsky from All Covered, talking about ransomware today. This is like scary stuff. It's scary on the internet sometimes, but you can give us some great tips on how to be safe out there.
Well, thanks for having me today.
Yeah, man, we're glad you stopped in.
Yeah, it is a scary thing. You know, with ransomware, nobody knows what ransomware is. It's kind of the pro of cyber crime today. You know, in old days, you had viruses that just kind of maybe would delete a couple of your files or affect your system. But today, nowadays, they've gone professional, and instead of coming into your house with a weapon or anything like that, they're just taking control of your computer, and in essence, they're holding it ransom.
So how does that happen? So
typically,
many people don't understand.
Where it happens is probably 90 to 95% of the time it's a user. They've opened an email that had the virus in it. Usually comes from someone they think they know. It's called phishing.
They'll fish or they'll spoof someone's
account.
Spoof
an email, something like that. It's just not sitting out there and finding its way into your systems. Normally, it's you've gotten an email. You've gone to a website and clicked on something. Or, you know, there's some social engineering things that people will do. They might drop a thumb drive laying in the parking lot as you come into work.
Dumb. Right.
Yeah, never take a random thumb drive.
That's dumb.
Right. Wow. And truthfully, one of the things I saw, I was just in California last week, and walking down through Hollywood, there's guys handing you music CDs all the time. You know, another bad thing.
No take.
Absolutely.
Oh, goodness.
And, you know, so with the emails, a lot of it's just the user. And you just have to, there's a lot of training involved for that user to make sure that even if it looks like it's coming from someone you know, pick up the phone, take a minute and call and say, hey, did you really send this to me?
I delete a lot of emails. Every once in a while, people will say, well, you didn't write me back.
It's like, thought you were
speaking. Yeah, well.
Right. And that is the case. Unfortunately, that's what happened.
I don't want that ransomware.
No, but the point is people need to understand, like, email is not like this 100% I get your attention and you're going to respond to me on it. We have this culture.
That's correct.
That's true.
Right? So it's like a
Every
mindset.
Every email must be opened and answered.
That it must be open. It must be answered. It must be deleted. It must be stored. It must be put in a cluster, whatever it may be.
Right. And, you know, and that's the thing is that people, they see that email that has been spoofed by, you know, the president of the company or HR or, you know.
Oh, I have that. Someone grabbed a hold of my actual email address and sent it to my CFO and said, please deposit money into my account.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he writes back like, yeah, right.
Right.
You know, but there was nothing to click on.
No. And they're getting tougher and tougher every day.
So he shouldn't have even opened that email.
Right.
But think about that. Uh-oh. It came from my email.
Al got spoofed.
Mm-hmm. And there are some tests out on the web that you can, some of the major virus companies like McAfee, mm-hmm. Norton, mm-hmm. They have some spoofing tests and some phishing tests that a user can go out and take. And they'll show you 10 emails and you pick which one you thought was legit, which right. one wasn't. And most of the people will miss a few of them.
I believe it.
Even as professionals, we're not
sure.
10 for 10. And, you know, the thing is the ransomware, you're never going to stop a user from not clicking on something, unfortunately. You know, someone asked, well, how do you stop this? Well, my always answer was you just don't connect to the internet. You know, you
stop.
Take
you
know,
sure,
stop,
no
stop
problem.
Living.
Stop living, right.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Go back to the old days of, you know, DOS, if there's anyone old enough out there to
right.
remember.
And, hey, man, I like DOS.
You know, the only way you connected was with a modem and you had to dial up. And even that's when viruses started.
Exactly.
You know, so at this point, you're not going to stop it. All you can hope to do is prevent it. Do as much as you can to keep yourself informed.
And then what happens when you click it and you do get it? Basically, someone takes control of your computer. They take all your files, shut your computer down. They basically say, if you want your files back, send us money to this location. Or sometimes it's Bitcoin. Sometimes it's, I don't know, people actually requesting like actual U.S. dollars for this stuff. Like,
typically, it's the Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Just untraceable.
It's untraceable. It's,
right.
it's purely anonymous. You know, to answer your question, you may not even know you've done it for a couple weeks,
right.
a couple months. It could sit dormant on your computer.
Oh, wow.
And typically, it does it all in the background. What it has to do is whenever you activate it, it phones home, you know, kind of like the old ET, phone home.
Phone home.
And it contacts their server to say, hey, I found somebody. It sends down some extra code and starts this encryption of files. And by encrypting them, they're encrypting them with their own password, their own key that no one will ever get.
Right.
It's very high bit encryption, you know, typically 256 bit or higher. So even if you had a cracker or something like that,
it's not going to break it.
It's not going to break
yeah.
it in the time that you need it. And typically you don't know what's happening until it's all done. And maybe the next day when you turn on your computer or you come into the office, there's a screen that says, hey, we've encrypted all of your files. You can't get them unless you do this. And they're very explicit. They give you line-by-line
Here's a link. How to use Bitcoin.
Right, right. They tell you exactly how to do it. Line-by-line, they give you everything. And unfortunately, there's no way to trace that
yeah.
because it is all behind the scenes.
Right. So AllCovered has yeah. a you guys did an ebook that kind of details less. I think we should tell people where to get this
yeah.
ebook.
I'm going to read that.
Right.
Yeah.
If you go out to allcovered.com, under there's a security section in there that we talk about this ebook. And what we do at AllCovered is we're a management services company, and we will help you manage your environment. We're not going to be able to come in and protect you and say, well, you're never going to get this. But we do have a lot of things in place that help.
The basic blocking and tackling that can eliminate probably a huge
correct.
Amount of this.
Some of it's training with the users.
Right.
One of the biggest things is, what is your disaster recovery plan? It's not, you know, what happens if I get this? In most cases, it's when I get this.
Right, right.
And as we were talking, it's ransomware, it's payment, it's Bitcoin. You really have a couple choices once you get it, is you pay the ransom. So you have to go through all of this rigmarole to get the Bitcoin and figure out how to pay all that. And as we were kind of talking offline, you could pay that and you still may not get your files back.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that. You know, they may say, hey, well, he paid me again. I'm going to keep asking him for payment. The second thing typically is hopefully you've had a good backup strategy.
I was going to say, if you have backup, tell them to go screw themselves, right? And say, I don't want my files back.
That's right.
You got them. Good
if,
for you.
And if you
enjoy
have,
my pictures.
That's right. if you have a good backup plan, depending on how far back you keep that backup, you should be able to restore over top without
right.
that problem.
And that's something that AllCovered can really help your clients with, is being able to make sure you have the right policies in place to have the right backups and recoveries and things like
absolutely.
that.
Absolutely. And what we do with that is, you know, we have backup services that do local backup and cloud backup. So, you know, in the event that something locally happens with all of your systems,
okay.
that backup is protected out in the cloud so that even if every single file in your internal system was corrupted, it's not going to reach that external system.
So have you ever had ransomware on your computer?
Not on mine, no.
Oh, but on someone you know?
You can tell us if you really do.
But on someone you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. And unfortunately, some clients that we've dealt with.
Right.
And I can, you know, I work with some people professionally and personally, and I've done everything I can
right.
to help them with their computer to try to prevent it, and it doesn't happen. I mean, it just, you get that email that looks like it came from your mom or came from your brother or, you know, your CEO or HR, you know, here's HR. Hey, we have a discrepancy in your paycheck. Please click here to mm-hmm. give us your information. You don't think twice about that sometimes, and you open it up.
Right.
You know, with the prevention, as we were saying, with the backups and so on, you know, if you have that in place, you got to make sure of your retentions. Some people back up every day, which is great, but if they're backing up and then overwriting their daily backup,
then that's no good.
It's no good.
You're only good for your last backup then.
Right.
And
so typically, you know, you like to keep something that's 10, 12, 14, 30 days out.
Absolutely. So, Clay, we're all out of time. People want to learn more about All Covered. Mm-hmm. Find this ebook on the ransomware. Where can they go and check you guys out?
Go to allcovered.com.
Okay.
And they can, if they want to send an email to and have someone contact them, it's info@allcovered.com.
That's easy enough.
And we have offices throughout the country, but our local office is 412-677-1500.
Just that simple.
Thank you, Clay.
Great tips and advice here. Thanks for stopping by the show today,
well,
Clay.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff. We're taking a quick break, everybody. We're coming right back with more Tech Vibe Radio this Friday night. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn about us at pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter @pghtech.
The following program is paid for by the Pittsburgh Technology Council.
Now back to more Tech Vibe Radio, brought to you by the generous support of the Allegheny County Airport Authority at flypittsburgh.com, Apogee IT Services at apogeeitservices.com, Compunetics at compunetics.com, Plus Consulting at plusconsulting.com, PNC Bank at pnc.com, PTC Corporate Coverage Group at pghtech.org, and SDLC Partners at sdlcpartners.com. Here are your hosts, the Pittsburgh Technology Council's Audrey Russo and Jonathan Kirsting.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for listening to Tech Vibe Radio. So glad you're listening with us tonight, Friday night. Audrey, we get the best guests, the coolest companies to stop by our show, talk about the great things happening in and around Pittsburgh. And we have one guy here with us from Nokomis, all the way in from Charleroi.
So if people are listening, which they better be, and they are, Nokomis, if they want to look online while you're talking, and we are going to introduce Andrew Portoon. Hi, Andrew.
Hi.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
So as we sort of explore the work that you've been doing and what you're up to, the website is
NokomisInc.com. So it's Nokomis, NokomisInc.com.
Excellent. So, Andrew, you're at Nokomis. What do you do each and every day?
So I play the role of Director of Research and Development for Cyber-Physical Technologies. And what my role is to develop cutting-edge technologies to face some real hard problems that are out there. As you're well aware, cyber security and then getting into cyber physical security is one of the greatest challenges of the 21st century, and that's been recognized all the way up to the president, who's made many remarks on the matter.
So what is cyber physical security?
I'm glad you asked. A lot of people are familiar with what cybersecurity is. That's more software-based. But in order to trust that an electronic device is doing what you expect it to do, you have to have more than just trust in the software. You have to have trust in the hardware itself. So essentially, that's looking to see if the electronic device is authentic. Is it working correctly? Has somebody, when it's been in somebody else's hands, have they put in a back door or otherwise tampered with the system? If you can't trust your hardware, you're not going to be able to trust your software or have really any reliability in the application that you're going for.
That's the foundation of many systems.
That's right.
Is the hardware. And
that's
so if there's a back door in there, you guys can detect that.
That's correct.
You can connect the back door in my iPhone.
So it's funny that you bring up iPhones. iPhones are a technology that have had, in previous generations, been affected by counterfeit devices.
So tell us about that. So people are counterfeiting iPhones, and people are using them as if like they're these are safe to use, secure iPhones, but they're not?
So counterfeiting has been a problem for really all of human civilization. And so it's not really a surprise that people are counterfeiting electronics.
Right. Okay.
It's actually grown into be a billion-dollar industry or more. A lot of the activity happens overseas. And as you know, a lot of our manufacturing of electronics happens overseas.
So they take that
We're not too smart, are we?
Well, I mean, we're smart in many ways, but one of the things that we've done as a country is we've done a lot of recycling. And so we'll take our electronics and we'll ship them overseas. And what the people that we've contracted to are supposed to do is take off the heavy metals from those electronics. Mm-hmm. But what they actually do is they pluck the chips off the board, wash them off in the river, remark them as new, and then put them back into the supply chain.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
And most of these people are just looking to make a buck.
Right.
You have some other more sophisticated actors out there that are a little bit more malicious in their intent, but most of the counterfeits that are in the supply chain are aged or used parts that are being sold as new. And what that does is it strongly reduces the reliability
for
of anything
sure.
that's put in.
Yeah, if it's been washed in a river, for crying out
right.
loud. So Nokomis then has the ability to tell manufacturers that maybe they're using used parts. Or, mm-hmm. or unsecure parts yeah, so, or parts of dubious origin.
So if people are listening and they want to know why they would use you, what kinds of problems would they have or what kinds of things would they be worried about?
Right. Well, I mean, increasingly these days, everything relies upon electronics. So anyone that's working with electronics at the piece part level needs to know that the parts they're putting into their device are what they say they are. And are of high quality.
Okay.
This is especially true if you're talking about a high risk or high liability application. Most of the work that we do is actually working with the government, who has been very proactive about addressing this.
Okay.
You know, if your iPhone, if the display chip goes bad, you know, in a week as opposed to 10 years, then it's a little bit of a tragedy. You go back to the store. It's some bigger warranty issue.
Right. Hanging out at the phone place is awful on a weekend.
No, but if the control chip that's essentially the brains of the safety control for a nuclear power plant happens to be counterfeit, that's
so
a bigger
good.
Problem.
Yeah, a little bigger problem.
Wow. Right.
So are most of your clients the government?
These currently, yes. Although we do work with other large companies as well that have similar concerns.
Right.
But mostly it's the government, and mostly right now it's for defense applications since... Again, if you have a counterfeit chips that would be getting into ships or planes or missile defense systems, then that could have a real impact beyond just the cost, a huge cost impact. Anytime that one of these things gets all the way into a weapon system, it costs just a huge amount to get it out and even find the problem. But beyond that, it's just a degradation of our capabilities as a country to defend ourselves.
Running our listeners, we're listening to Tech Vibe Radio, and we're talking to Andrew Portune of Nokomis. And this is, you guys are solving and doing some really important, quasi-scary things, or things that most of us aren't thinking about. The fact, like the quality of chips behind something that could be in a fighter jet, or in a tank, or in a nuclear facility.
Well, in an airplane.
In an airplane,
right.
or in your car.
Right.
I mean, it's just, and our lives are so controlled by these pieces of hardware, and there's a company like yours out there that goes out and can actually do forensics and actually detect if the chips are counterfeit or if they're not up to the right quality par. And you guys are in Charleroi, which is just so cool. I'm not thinking a company like this is going to be in a little town of Charleroi. So tell us a little bit about why you're in Charleroi, and we'll talk a bit more about what Nokomis does.
So we were founded in 2002, and the headquarters is in Charleroi. We also have some facilities in other locations.
Okay.
But the founders of the company are actually from the Pittsburgh area, and so they have a good, strong connection to the area. And when we looked at it, I mean, a lot of defense companies will kind of cluster around Washington, D.C. or around other locations where they have bases. But we wanted to stick around the Pittsburgh area. The cost for a large, unique facility is just a lot lower here than you get in Washington, D.C. And at the end of the day, what we're about is providing a unique capability.
For sure.
As opposed to just being near somebody.
One of many, right.
And we're still within driving distance of tons of different bases, as well as, you know, it's a four-hour trip from here to Washington, so it hasn't really hampered us.
And so are you hiring people now?
Oh, yes, absolutely. If anyone's interested, they should definitely send
us. Jonathan's interested.
Yeah,
so what is,
come on.
Does he meet the criteria?
You'd have to talk to our recruiters.
So, yeah, maybe, what type of positions are you hiring for?
What kinds of things?
These would be some really high-level engineering type positions, I assume.
So most of what we do is we're looking at the electromagnetic signatures that come off of electronic devices. So people with a background in physics or a background in electrical engineering.
I'm not your guy.
Background in radio frequency or RF type technologies.
So being on the radio doesn't count as a core competency?
not exactly, but it doesn't hurt either.
I'm trying to help him.
She's trying to help me out here, man. Come on. So, this is some super high level talent that you're trying to recruit.
Where did you go to school? You went to school at Rutgers. You told us that earlier. And what was your degree?
My degree was in material science and engineering, and I went after material science because it's more information about fundamentally why the world is the way that it is. So if you look at an electronic device, what's the difference between an aged chip and a new chip?
Right.
It's the degradation of the circuitry. And how that manifests in the kind of phenomenology that we look at is why our technology has been so successful.
That's cool. Very so have cool. you been working there ever since you got out of school?
No, I actually did some postdoctoral research at the Army Research Laboratory in Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland. And after that, I came out here to Nokomis.
Very cool.
That's really great. Mm-hmm.
So you get to have a lot of fun every day when you come to work.
That's right.
You get to for lack of a term, nerd out on really cool, fun stuff.
Yes, and you know we've got a pretty good lab set up. Get to really dive into the data
for sure.
And we also manufacture our own systems over there in Charleroi as well.
Ooh.
So we have that manufacturing wing.
Tell us a little bit about that, as far as like the different types of systems that you manufacture there.
Sure. So, I mean, the core system that we make is actually an ultra-sensitive RF receiver.
Okay.
So we are able to achieve close to the theoretical limit for sensitivity in terms of the RF energy that's coming in.
Okay.
All electronic devices produce electromagnetic energy when you turn them on. Just the current flow through the chip will cause electromagnetic waves to come out, but they're extremely low power. There's a lot of regulations out there to control just how strong that power can
be.
So that, you know, your devices don't interfere with my devices.
Right, exactly.
Example.
Right.
But if you have an ultra-sensitive receiver like the one that we've developed and what we manufacture in Charleroi, you're able to pick up a lot of information content and able to look at signals that are essentially like a fingerprint.
Exactly.
The wave that comes off of one device, like a phone, will be very different than what's going to come off of a different device.
Are they different from like phone to phone and tablet to tablet?
That's right.
As far as this? Are all Apple signals pretty much the same? Are they different from an Android signal?
It's going to be based upon the chips that are running in them and exactly what processing they're running at a time. But you can kind of see how this leads into being able to detect counterfeits.
I was going to bring that right up. So I want to talk about that because obviously if someone's trying to pass something off, it's not going to have that right signal, right?
It's going to be a different circuitry. So it'll be a different signature. And that's essentially what we're doing at the end of the day is matching a signature from something that you don't have confidence in because you haven't tested it yet with something that you know to be good.
So hopefully these capabilities will be in the hands of everyday business people at some point.
Yes, that's what we're hoping. So we've gone through a lot of feasibility studies at this point in time. Over the past year, we've actually had the opportunity to test parts at government facilities as well as look at parts from certain private companies. And the system has done very well compared to what the conventional technologies are that tend to look at this stuff. So we feel like we're in a very promising position to really have broad adoption by the community. We're also working with certain standard bodies to get this particular approach
embedded into their processes.
Right.
Yes. So SAE International is the organization that makes standards around this. And our methodology, and it's not specific to our technology because that's not how the standard works, but there is a methodology being written around radiated electromagnetic emissions, which we're very involved with.
Very cool. We've got about a minute left.
Born and raised in Pittsburgh?
Born and raised in Jersey, actually.
Okay.
In Jersey. What do you think of Pittsburgh?
I really love it here. I mean, just the topography. It's so beautiful in the area, the rivers. It's a great place to raise a family, which
very
is
cool.
one of the reasons why I came out here for a job.
We're glad you're here. We need more folks
you.
Like you doing what you're doing. So Nokomis, Inc., I-N-C.
That's correct.
.com.
That's right.
You can learn all about what you guys are up to there. Really amazing stuff all
Thank
the way out
you,
there.
Andrew.
Appreciate it, Andrew. Thanks for stopping by.
Appreciate you having me. Thanks.
Audrey, we're taking a quick break. We are coming right back. We always do with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org.
Back to more Tech Vibe Radio, brought to you by the generous support of the Allegheny County Airport Authority at flypittsburgh.com, Apogee IT Services at apogeeitservices.com, Compunetics at compunetics.com, Plus Consulting at plusconsulting.com, PNC Bank at pnc.com, PTC Corporate Coverage Group at pghtech.org, and SDLC Partners at sdlcpartners.com. Here are your hosts, the Pittsburgh Technology Council's Audrey Russo and Jonathan Kirstein.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tech Vibe Radio with Jonathan Kirstein.
And Audrey Russo.
Audrey, we've got a cool guest with us today. We saved the best for last.
Yes, we have David Martin of Michael Baker. And if you haven't heard of Michael Baker, stay tuned, because we're going to get you current on what they're doing and what they're up to and what kind of problems they're solving.
And I'll tell you what, Audrey, I was at their offices back in the spring. We had a roundtable with probably seven or eight of the VPs leading different departments, and I couldn't believe all the cool things that are happening at Michael
Baker. Okay, name one thing. Name one of the cool things.
Drones. Surveying sites with drones.
Their own drones?
Architectural departments that are the size of, that are bigger than probably entire architecture firms in Pittsburgh.
So you were duly impressed.
Duly impressed.
Okay.
And I said, these guys have to stop by the show and just let our listeners know a little bit, a little touch, a little taste of some of the things going on. So that's why we have Dave here today. So thanks for stopping out, man.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So what is your role with Michael Baker?
I'm the office principal at Michael Baker International.
Okay.
A minor role.
Minor, you know.
Do you do a lot of traveling?
I do.
You do, right?
Generate business. I probably travel 35 plus weeks a year.
Wow.
Wow. 35 weeks. Okay.
Right.
Well, we're glad you took the time to hang out with us right here.
I think your flight's taking off in an hour, so we'll get you out of here.
Well, most of us are located near the airport, so it's just-in-time delivery.
Is there a special tunnel that goes from your place to the airport?
I do wish when the planes would land that they would just stop and let me off. I could walk over to the office.
Okay, exactly. We'll be looking into that.
Totally.
We'll be looking into that. We're pretty close with the airport. Let's
see what
we can do.
That would be a nice upgrade.
So just briefly, tell us about Michael Baker.
Well, Michael Baker International was founded in Pittsburgh in 1940. We're a global leader in engineering, planning, and consulting. We have about 6,000 people in 90 offices with about a little over 700 here in Pittsburgh.
Nice. Very big presence.
Yeah. From an engineering standpoint, we do just about everything. Highways, bridges, infrastructure, civil engineering.
All the important stuff that we just take for granted. When you're traveling down a new highway, someone had to build that and engineer it, and you guys do that.
Especially in Pittsburgh here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of infrastructure development, a lot of new infrastructure that's required. We have, as you mentioned, a large architectural practice that's bigger than most businesses here in town.
Exactly.
We have over 100 people just in our AE group designing buildings. But I would say for us, if it's a bridge, a road, a tunnel, we've probably worked on it here in the region.
Without a doubt.
And then some.
Very cool.
Well, so, you know, you have how many people that are here?
A little over 700.
So 700. How many of them are engineers and what type of engineers?
Well, I would say that probably out of the 700 folks, so probably over 450 are what I call technical professionals.
Yeah.
So they're engineers, architects, planners, scientists. From an engineering perspective, it sort of runs the gamut, mechanical, electrical, structural engineering. Oh, definitely civil engineers, environmental engineers. We have a couple of chemical engineers.
Wow.
It pretty much runs the full scope of services.
And so with you growing so rapidly and expanding and with everyone traveling and the kind of work that you do, what kind of projects do people work on? Can you give us a few examples?
Well, depending on the groups, we have a large highway and bridge practice, so they're working on highway and bridge projects all over the world. If you see an orange cone in Pittsburgh and you get frustrated, I'm happy because it's my orange cone.
It's your orange cone.
Because
really?
It's usually something we've designed and is under construction.
Very cool.
Well, what about that ticket I got when I went right by that work zone?
Well, I can't help you with that.
It's a whole other story there, Audrey.
But, you know, like the Route 28 upgrades, the Liberty Bridge, the Greenfield Bridge we're involved with.
The Greenfield Bridge. Don't talk to Jonathan and I about the Greenfield
I love
Bridge.
Watching that being built. I'm mesmerized watching how they know where to start pouring concrete and it's going to connect.
We're involved in the implosion as well as we're managing the construction right now as it goes.
Were you involved in the parade after the implosion?
Were.
You were?
Yeah, that we were one of the sponsors of the whole
That's awesome.
The whole thing going on.
I love that. Yeah, that's a great story.
Right.
That's a great story. Now that I have to go 5 miles out of my way just to get my hair cut.
But you're going to have a nice strong bridge that doesn't drop concrete.
I'm excited about it because it's a stunner.
It's not going to be on 60 minutes again.
I know.
You know?
Exactly.
Oh, right, right,
That bridge really killed somebody. Like a hunk of concrete fell off it and went through someone's windshield and took
it
out.
Like, it did.
So let's just do a little bit of a deep dive and talk about LIDAR and big data. Because I don't understand what this static LIDAR is and what it means and how you embed that into your business.
Well, LIDAR stands for light detection and ranging. Basically, you're measuring physical assets by collecting data points.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, for example, if somebody used to physically go out and survey something, now we can do it electronically.
Okay.
So there's a couple.
Are you scanning the building?
We are.
Wow.
Some of the LIDAR collects 400,000 plus data points per second.
Wow.
So this becomes super accurate then, I have to assume.
It does, depending on a few variables, it can be super accurate. You can collect a lot of data in a short time.
And at speed as well, of course.
Right. So give an example. At the airport, they used to have to go out and physically survey the runways by hand. Now you can run a vehicle up and down there and be done in an hour, what used to take days.
Put the LIDAR on the jets.
So what kind of data? What kind of data gets extracted and leveraged?
Any type of physical data. Basically, your any 3D data point of a physical attribute, It will send out a signal, collect that data point, project a 3D image of the object that you're trying to analyze.
So you can look at the corrosive nature, you can look at the structure, you can look at the rate of deterioration.
Well, we can look at the physical attributes of it. For example, if it was a bridge, you could analyze a bridge and you could look at each, you could identify each one of the structural members, the size, the thickness, that type of thing.
Okay.
Which is sort of one of the attributes of doing a bridge inspection. For example, if I drove it down a road, I might be able to analyze the pavement and look where all the cracks are in the pavement.
Hmm.
And then take that data, crunch it, and better help the city with their public works program and where to spend their money.
You know a certain road's going to start crumbling at a certain point other than other sections of a road.
Right.
So you put your efforts on certain parts first.
Where are the priorities?
Where the priorities are.
So we collect terabytes of data.
I can imagine.
So,
which gives you a lot of big data to start sifting through, right?
We do. So sometimes there's the element of too much data.
Mm.
So we try to fine-tune the LIDAR so that we just collect the right amount.
You want some, but not all.
But, you know, with a city like Pittsburgh where we have a lot of older structures, static LIDAR is where the unit just sits in a fixed position.
And it, like, spins?
And looks.
Okay.
You can bring it inside of this room, and it'll take a 3D image of this room and convert that into a computer-generated 3D graphic that we could use to do other things, like maybe change this room.
I like to make it a little more roomier. I'm sitting back here in the corner. I could use a little more space.
So that's interesting. So a lot of your relationships are with governments?
They
are. Municipalities?
Local, state, federal government.
Right.
Sure.
And then what about even going underwater?
Well, there's static LIDAR, which sits there, but we also have mobile LIDAR, which we can do a few different ways. You can do it on a UAV or a drone. You can fly it around. We can put it on a vehicle. We could put it on an all-terrain vehicle. We can put it on a boat, for example.
Oh, really?
And we could take it down the rivers and measure the undersides of the bridges. The technology exists to put it, for example, underwater, to have like a flying wing, that type of thing where you could, sort of similar to sonar where you're taking a 3D image
at
the bottom of a river, finding objects. A lot of the big issues with the Corps of Engineers right now is to find objects that are unidentified that could block a shipping channel, for example.
Makes sense.
So can Jonathan and I come out one day and, like, go on one of these expeditions?
Sure could.
Yeah, if we want to go out and map some stuff.
I want to understand, like, how you're extracting that data, particularly the water piece. The water's really fascinating, at least to me. I can't speak for Jonathan.
I'm interested. I'm in.
I really want to understand that collection of that data, the movement, and what are the things that you're finding?
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, I'd be happy to have you. We're doing a dam project right now where we're taking the physical, measuring the physical assets of a dam so that we can reinforce it so that it doesn't fail later.
How about our
locks? Yeah, like we care like
our,
about
is
this.
Is it part of our lock and dam system on the Monongahela River? Or?
No, this is in Ohio.
In
but
Ohio,
you could apply the same concept.
Because I know our locks and dams here are pretty old, and there's some worries about their ability to maintain them.
There are.
Right.
The idea is that barge traffic has dropped on the river with the drop in the coal and other materials moving up and down the river, but people still want to use the river for recreation, and there is some commerce on the river. So how do you rehabilitate that asset for a bunch of different users?
Totally.
Okay, we're in.
Yes.
This is no kidding around.
Tell us where to show up, and we'll be there.
Yeah,
if you want
we'll
check
be
it
there.
Out.
We'll help.
We'll put you
we'll
on a light
help.
On
help.
Our project.
As long as you give us lunch, we'll be in good shape.
Baker's all about lunch. We'll have to come out there and we can do that.
That's
but
awesome.
But I think really, all kidding aside, is that with a city like Pittsburgh that was built quite a while ago, that had a lot of heavy wear and tear on it,
right,
is now, like many cities that age, you know, wrestling with how do you set priorities in terms of the infrastructure and what do you need to solve, how are you going to solve it, how are you going to spend taxpayer dollars, et cetera. I'm very interested in that.
It is.
And, you know, you think about cleaning up the rivers and, you know, all the other things that we're trying to do. And yet there's some basic things that need to be resolved that many don't even understand and don't even think about.
I think all cities are driven on their infrastructure development. If
right.
you have good infrastructure, water, electricity, other resources like reliable transportation,
right.
the economic development
I agree
will
with
come
you.
To the city.
I agree with you.
The good thing about the city is the city has sort of the mindset now to take care
now,
of their assets,
right,
to
right.
drive that economic development. And it was built on what I would call a good foundation. Pittsburgh's always been about engineering and technology.
Yeah, right,
it's our roots.
Right,
it's our core.
Right,
absolutely.
I mean, with Baker going back to 1940, right. that's a part of Pittsburgh. You're part of our bedrock
it's,
here.
It's always, I think of ESWP, which is a very old institution. That's the Engineering Society. That's when Carnegie and folks were around. We've always had engineering, and we'll always have good infrastructure.
Without a doubt. That's the core of what we do. If people learn more about Michael Baker and all the things you do, because there's a lot, where can they go and check you guys out?
We have a website, www.mbakerintl.com,
yes,
or you can just Google us, Michael Baker
Michael
International.
Michael Baker International. Oh, thank you
That's
so
great.
Much.
Thanks so much, Dave.
Dave
really
Martin,
appreciate
thanks
it.
For taking the time. Like I said, your flight's probably taking off any minute. I know, 35 weeks, oh my goodness, of traveling.
Thanks for having me.
That's
great.
Crazy.
Thank
good,
you.
Good stuff. We need
thanks.
To have you guys back on the show to talk about great. More things you guys are up
no,
to.
No, we're going
so
out.
Much. And we're going out.
And we'll have lunch.
And we'll have lunch. I like the way you talk, man. I like the way you talk. Another Tech Vibe Radio under the belt, but there's more
great.
Coming next week. This has been Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
From the Pittsburgh Technology Council. We love helping tech companies succeed. We've been doing it since 1983. Have an awesome weekend, everybody.
The preceding has been paid for by the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Information on the program was intended solely to further the public's general knowledge about the product. Opinions expressed should not be relied upon for any purpose by any member of the audience.